we're just so thankful for tonight. And Lord, I thank you for every brother, every sister, every family who took the time to come out tonight. Lord, I know that the majority of us, Lord, we all work today, and many of us, we work long hours, and some of us just got out of work, and some of us came directly from work, Lord. I see some people in their uniforms, Lord, and I just thank you that they're here, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that church is so important, and it matters so much to my family that even though they're tired, even though they've had a long day, even though they just got out of work, they still took the time to come to church. And I pray, Lord, that you would reward their faithfulness, Lord. Reward their loyalty, their commitment to you, Lord. That you would bless their time tonight, Lord. That tonight that we would be blessed, Lord, in your presence and in your word, Lord. We just commit tonight into your hands, Lord. Prepare our hearts, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to be focused for the next 40 minutes, Lord, that the distractions, that the tiredness, the hungriness could be put to the side, and that it can just be all about you, Jesus. By us being here, Lord, we recognize that we need you, Lord. We recognize we need to hear the word. We need to worship you. We need to spend time in prayer. Because without you, Lord, we're lost, Lord. We're nothing, Lord. And so bless our time, Lord. Do the work that only you can do, Lord. That's our prayer, and we pray all of it in your precious name. And all of the fam says, amen, amen. God bless you, fam. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. And actually, this evening, we're going to continue our study in the book of Exodus. And we're actually going to be looking at the entire chapter, chapter 5. And we're also going to read the first verse of chapter 6. And so we'll begin in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. And we'll read all of chapter 5. And then we'll also read the first verse of chapter 6. And what I want us to do, fam, is I want us to begin our study by first reading the text. And we're going to only do this once, and so I'm not going to overwhelm anyone tonight. But I think it's important that we begin our study always reading the text and just understanding where we are going in our study. And so Exodus chapter 5, amen, fam. Amen. So we'll read all of chapter 5, and then we'll read the first verse in chapter 6. And I will do the reading, and if you guys could just follow along, that would be awesome. This is what the Word of God tells us. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go." Then they said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please, let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword." But the king of Egypt said to them, "Moses and Aaron, why do you take the people away from their work? Go get back to your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land are now many, and you make them rest from their burdens." The same day Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks, as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. But the number of bricks that they made in the past, you shall impose on them. You shall by no means reduce it, for they are idle." Therefore they cry, "Let us go and offer sacrifice to our God. Let heavier work be laid on the man that they may labor at it and pay no regards to lying words. So the taskmasters and the foremen of the people went out and said to the people, thus says Pharaoh, I will not give you straw. Go and get your straw yourselves wherever you can find it, but your work will not be reduced in the least. So the people were scattered throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble for straw. The taskmasters were urgent, saying, complete your work, your daily task each day, as when there was straw. And the foremen of the people of Israel, whom Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and were asked, why have you not done all your tasks of making bricks today and yesterday as in the past? Then the foremen of the people of Israel came and cried to Pharaoh, why do you treat your servants like this? No straw is given to your servants, yet they say to us, make bricks. And behold, your servants are beaten, but the fault is in your own people. But he said, you are idle. You are idle. That is why you say, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Go now and work. No straw will be given you, but you must still deliver the same number of bricks. The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, you shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day. They met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh. And they said to them, the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Then Moses turned to the Lord and said, O Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. And then let's read chapter 6, verse 1. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will send them out. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. And all of God's people says, amen, amen. If I say amen, you agree with me, fam, that what we just read indeed is the word of God. Tonight, fam, I have titled our study simply Bricks Without Straw. Bricks Without Straw. If you recall, fam, from our last study, last Thursday in Exodus, after some hesitation and after some doubts and after some difficulties, Moses finally arrived in Egypt with his brother Aaron. If you recall from chapters 3 and the first part of chapter 4, God appeared to Moses through a burning bush, and God spoke to Moses, and God really called Moses to go to Egypt to deliver his people from bondage. And if you recall, when Moses heard the news and when he understood what God was calling him to do, at first Moses was hesitant. He doubted. He had some honest struggles concerning the call. But if you recall, God was patient with him. And in the same way God is patient with us, God was patient with Moses. And God just continued to remind Moses and promise Moses that he was going to be with him. Moses had doubts. Moses had hesitation. Moses felt unqualified, inadequate for the work. But God just kept reminding Moses, Moses, don't worry, I'm going to be with you. Moses, don't worry, I'm going to do the work in you and through your hands. And so finally, Moses and Aaron arrived to Egypt. And we're told, and we actually looked at this last Thursday, that once they arrived, the first thing they did is they gathered all the leaders of the people of Israel. They gathered what we call the elders of the people. And right away, they began to share with these leaders, these elders, everything that God told them to share. And they literally began to do all the mighty works that God told them to do. Moses was finally surrendered to God. He was finally committed and obedient to the call of God. There was no more excuses, no more doubts. But now Moses is God's man, and he's in Egypt, and he's doing exactly what God commanded him to do. And so he gathers the elders, he gathers the people of Israel, and he really just tells them, hey, God's about to deliver us. God's about to free us from bondage. And if you can look with me quickly, because I love this verse, at the end of chapter 4, in verse 31, if you can look with me there in your Bibles, Exodus 4, 31, we're told that when the people heard the news, when they heard what Moses was saying and saw what Moses was doing, we're told that they believed. They believed. And then they bowed their heads, and look at the last word of the verse, and they worshiped. They worshiped. I love that verse because really what it teaches us is that Moses and Aaron finally surrendered everything to God. They finally were obedient and faithful to God's calling, and the result was a revival amongst the people. They did exactly what God told them to do. They go to Egypt, they gather the people of Israel, the leaders, they share with them, they perform mighty works, and the people were so impacted that they believed God's word and they worshiped God. Their faithfulness led to fruitfulness. And it's the same with us. If you're faithful, if you just do what God has called you to do, if you just serve the Lord, committed to the Lord, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be fruitful. In other words, you're going to impact. You're going to impact people. You're going to impact your home. You're going to impact your spouse. You're going to impact your children just by doing what God has called you to do, just by being faithful. It's not even about doing this major act or this major work, but it's all about being faithful in the small things. Just every day, just grinding for Jesus. It's just being faithful every day. You're going to be fruitful and you're going to impact so many people. And so that's what we've been looking at, and that's where we're at. Now, tonight, we come to chapter 5 in our study of Exodus. And now we're going to talk a little bit about Moses' first encounter with Pharaoh. When the people heard the good news, when Israel heard what God was going to do, man, they worshiped. They broke out in praise. But now we're going to see that when Pharaoh heard the news, his response was completely different. And that's going to be our focus tonight. Amen, fam? Amen. And so let me share with you a few things we see and learn from our text. Now, because the text is so long and it's a big chapter, I want to give you simply three main points that we see and learn. It's impossible to go through every text, every verse. It's just too big of a chapter. But I do want to give you three main points that we see here. And I promise you, you're going to be so blessed. Notice first the faithful service of Moses and Aaron. Notice the faithful service, the faithfulness of Moses and Aaron. That's the first thing we see, and I want you to look with me again just at verse 1, Exodus chapter 5, verse 1. Because there we learn that after sharing with the elders everything the Lord had told them to share, in verse 1, Moses and Aaron now go to Pharaoh. And really what they do is with Pharaoh, they once again share, proclaim everything the Lord had told them to share and proclaim. And so let's read verse 1 again. Afterwards, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord." And so notice, all they're doing is they're repeating what God told them to say. "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." They faithfully share with Pharaoh the words that God commanded them to share. Now, in a moment, fam, and this is going to be one of our main focuses tonight, we're going to talk about Pharaoh's response. Because really the chapter, the main point of the chapter is Pharaoh's response. And as we're going to see, it's not going to be a good response, but it's going to be a harsh, wicked response. And so in a moment, we're going to talk about that. But first, I thought it would be good that we first focus on the faithful service of Moses and Aaron. What I want you to see here is Moses and Aaron were faithful. That's the key word, all right, fam? Faithful. They're faithfully doing exactly what God told them to do. So remember, God gave them instructions. God gave them commands. God told them to do this and to do that and to share this and to share that. And now we find them doing exactly what God instructed them to do. They don't do anything more, or they don't do anything less. They don't add to God's instructions, or they don't take away from God's instructions. But Moses and Aaron, they just do exactly what God told them to do. Now, this is going to be a very important theme in the book of Exodus. Because really, throughout the book of Exodus, what we're going to see is that God's going to give Moses instructions, commandments, and Moses is going to be faithful. And he's simply going to do what God told him to do. He's just going to carry out the instructions that God gave him to do. Moses, more than anything else, Moses is faithful. He's faithful. He obeys God. That's going to be an important theme. He's a faithful servant. In fact, and let me share this with you quickly because it's important. Turn with me, keep your spot and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. Because when we get to the New Testament, we learn that in God's eyes, Moses was so faithful that literally the book of Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 and 2 tells us that Moses' faithfulness was literally a picture of Jesus Christ. That the faithfulness of Moses, the obedience of Moses, was a picture of the day when Jesus was going to come and he was going to be faithful to his Father. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him," look at this, "just as Moses also was, what's the word? Faithful in all God's house. The author of Hebrews is reflecting on the faithfulness, the obedience of Jesus. When Jesus came and he did exactly what his father told him to do. And as he's thinking about Jesus, he brings up Moses. He says, man, just like Moses, Jesus is faithful. Jesus was faithful. And he would later say that Jesus is even greater than Moses, because Moses was simply a picture, and Jesus is the fulfillment. And so when you think of Moses, really one of the main things you should think of is faithfulness. Faithfulness. God gives him instructions. God tells him, go to Egypt. And Moses was faithful. He did exactly what God commanded him to do. And this is the application. Moses was faithful, and we must be faithful. Faithfulness, in my opinion, is everything in the Christian walk. Now, what is faithfulness? Faithfulness simply is commitment. Commitment. Faithfulness is obedience. Faithfulness is simply following God's instructions. In his word, God has instructed us to do certain things. And faithfulness is just following instructions. And the Bible teaches us that more than anything else, God is looking for faithfulness. Faithfulness. God is looking for good and faithful servants. A brother once said, how does God spell success? Well, God spells success by faithfulness. And he literally spelled out faithfulness. F-A-I-T-H-F-U-L-N-E-S-S. That's how God spells success. That's what it means to be successful in the eyes of God. It's all about being faithful. Faithful to the Lord, first. Second, faithful to your family, to your spouse, to your children. Third, faithful to your church family, to your local church, to the body of Christ. It's all about being faithful. You know, the Bible teaches us that God has given all of us something. In other words, God has placed certain talents, a certain ability, certain resources, certain gifts in our hands. For example, God has blessed us with health. God has blessed us with a sound mind. God has blessed us with a job, with energy. God has blessed us with today, with time. God has blessed us with so many things. God has put so many things in your hand. You've been given gifts by God. And one day, the Bible teaches us that all of us, as the people of God, one day we're going to be giving account to God. We're going to have to give account about what we did with everything that God has placed us in our hands. And on that day, really the only thing that's going to matter is whether or not we were faithful. Were we faithful? Did we use what God gave us for his glory, for his kingdom? Or did we use it for our glory? For our kingdom? Did we waste our lives, or did we use our lives for his glory? One day, Paul tells us we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There will be an examination. And God will hold us accountable whether or not we were faithful. And so the encouragement is, be faithful by God's grace. Be faithful in the small things. God only asks that we be faithful in what we have. God doesn't expect you to do something that you're not able to do. God doesn't expect you to give something that you don't have to give. God only asks that you be faithful in what you have. You might have a lot. You might have a little. Whatever you have, just be faithful. God is looking for faithfulness. That's how you spell success in God's eyes. And so we see the faithfulness of Moses and Aaron, the faithful service. Now, let's go back to Exodus chapter 5. And let me now give you the second heading that we see here. And this is really going to be our focus for the rest of the night, even though we got one last point. But it goes with this second point. Because the second thing now we see here is the wicked response of Pharaoh. The wicked response of Pharaoh. Moses and Aaron share the good news with God's people that God is going to deliver them. And there's a spiritual revival. Everybody believes and everybody begins to worship God. But now in chapter 5, we learn about Pharaoh's response. And Pharaoh's response was so different than the people of Israel's response. Because when Pharaoh heard the news, immediately his response was, and let's read verse 2 again, Exodus 5, verse 2. He says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord. And moreover," and this is his response, "I will not let Israel go." The response of Pharaoh. He refused to let the people of Israel go. He heard the words. He heard the proclamation. He received the commands from Moses and Aaron, from God. But he hardened his heart. And he refused to let the people go. And as we continue to read, we learn that after speaking with Moses and Aaron, Pharaoh actually decided to increase the affliction of the people of Israel. In other words, look with me in verse 7. After hearing from Moses and Aaron, and after refusing to let the people go, he does something wicked. And in verse 7, we're told that he gathered the taskmasters and the foremen of the people of Israel, and he told them that no longer would straw be given to the people to make bricks. But look at there in verse 7, he says, "Let them go and gather straw for themselves." Now let me explain that for you. Pharaoh, he not only refuses to let the people of Israel go, but he adds to their affliction. And he adds to their bondage. And so this is the idea. The people of Israel, they're slaves in Egypt. And really what they're doing is they're making bricks. And with those bricks, they're building cities. And they're building monuments. And some even believe they built the pyramids in Egypt. But the Egyptians, they literally would give all the supplies to Israel, and they would take those supplies and they would build the cities. But really now what Pharaoh is saying is, now you guys have to get your own supplies. We're not going to provide the straw anymore for the bricks, but now you have to do double the work. It's like he's saying, you know what? Now you got to come early Because now you got to go get the straw for yourself. And he says, and you still have to produce the same amount of bricks. It's like him doubling the work, but saying you still have to reach the quote for today. And so not only does he reject God's command, but he inflicts the people with more burdens and more bondage. And really what you're seeing there is Pharaoh's heart is hard. Pharaoh has a wicked heart, a hard heart. Pharaoh thinks he's God. And really this is kind of setting the stage, because one of the main themes is God versus Pharaoh, a showdown. Who wins? We're going to see who's going to win. But Pharaoh is opposing God. He's hardening his heart and literally saying, I'm not going to let his people go. In fact, I'm going to make it worse for his people. It's as though he's mocking God. And so we see the wicked response of Pharaoh. Now, for our second point, fam, this is what I want you to see. And this is going to be now our focus for the remainder of the night. I promise you, we're not going to take too long tonight because we're almost finished with our study. So we're good, fam. Stay with me. But what I want you to notice is this, okay? This is so important. Moses and Aaron, they're faithful to the Lord's command. So they go to Egypt. And they're doing exactly what God commanded them to do. They're faithful. They're obeying God's word. They're walking by faith. They're following Jesus. They're in love with God. They're doing exactly what God told them to do. But notice that instead of things getting easier, things got harder. You see that in your text? They go to Egypt, they're obeying God, they're faithful to the Lord, they're on fire for Jesus, they're serving the Lord, but instead of things getting better, things got worse. In other words, the suffering didn't decrease, but it increased. Do you see that in the text? They're doing exactly what God told them to do. And things didn't turn out the way they expected. But for a time, things got worse. They're obeying God. They're going to Egypt. In their minds, they're thinking, okay, God's going to deliver his people. It's going to be amazing. We're doing exactly what God told us to do. And things got worse before they got better. Instead of relieving the suffering, more suffering was added. Now, why is that so important? Well, because the same thing is true for us as believers. You see, serving the Lord, being faithful to the Lord, doing exactly what God calls you to do, it doesn't keep you from suffering. But at times, it could add suffering to your life. In other words, the Christian walk, it's not an easy walk. It's not an easy walk, but sometimes God's will for our lives, sometimes are seasons of suffering. Sometimes God's path for our lives is a hard path. Sometimes we suffer as Christians. A brother said once, the Christian walk is a cross to be carried and not a crown to be worn. this side of eternity, all that's waiting for us is a cross. A cross. And we're going to suffer, fam. And when we do, it doesn't mean anything's wrong, but in my opinion, it means something is right. And it's important that we're aware of that. It's important that you understand that, hey, if you're serving the Lord, if you're faithful to the Lord, eventually the fruit's going to come. But before the fruit comes, the rain's going to come. The storms are going to come. Before the fruit comes, before the grass grows, man, there might be some dark clouds. Things might get harder before they get easier. But that's the Christian walk. And so when it happens, don't freak out and don't say, oh no, something's wrong with me because it's not a walk in the park. Something's wrong because, man, here I am serving the Lord. Here I am reading my word, spending time in prayer, getting involved in church, coming to service. And now I have all these problems. Oh, no. Am I doing something wrong? No. You're doing everything right. Doing everything right. You're in the fight now. You're now in the battle. Before, you were always on the sideline. Before, you were only watching. Before you were playing for the devil's team. Now you're fighting against the enemy. Nothing's wrong, but everything's right. Everything's right. There will be hard times. Listen, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 21. Man, just the Lord did a work in my heart. I just committed everything to Him. A year later, went to Bible school for 2 years. Man, I was just serving the Lord, excited for the Lord. Went on mission trips and preaching the gospel in Central America. A year later, my mom died of cancer. A year later, 4 years after I gave my life to the Lord, a year after I graduated Bible college, and I was really starting, my mom died of cancer. And that was God's will for my life, for my family. And some of you are hearing that. You're like, what? What do you mean? It's God's will? How is that possible? Well, I don't know. I can't explain it. I don't have all the answers. But I know that God is always in control. Nothing happens without God giving the green light. And God chose. And God allowed that to happen. There was nothing wrong with me. I wasn't in sin. I was serving the Lord. I was loving the Lord. I was exactly doing what God called me to do. But we had to go through a season of suffering. And that's the Christian walk. You'll go through times of suffering. Now, not always. Don't misunderstand me. It's not one big rain cloud. But there will be seasons in your life where God allows you to go through suffering. But listen to this. We must always remember that there's a purpose for it. In other words, there's a plan. There's a plan behind it. There's a design. God is doing something. God is using it for His glory. And that's actually the last point I want to share with you. And look with me in chapter 6, verse 1. The glorious plan of God. Because Pharaoh rejects God's commandments. Pharaoh adds to the sufferings and the afflictions of the people of God. Moses and Aaron are just doing what God told them to do. They're being used by God. They're on fire for God. They're obeying God's commandments. And things get worse. And the temptation is like, what's going on, God? I'm here serving you. I'm going to church, Lord. I even started paying my tithes, Lord. And things are getting worse, Lord. But what happened, Lord? I thought you promised me peace and joy and love. And then you get to a verse like chapter 6, verse 1. But the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. With a strong hand, he will send them out. And with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. And what God's saying there, he's saying, I'm in control. I'm in control. I'm allowing all this to happen because through Pharaoh, I'm going to display my power. I'm going to display my glory. Through Pharaoh, through the hardening of Pharaoh's heart, I'm going to reveal myself. And when I'm done, he will let my people go. It's as if he's saying, Moses, don't worry. I'm in control. I'm in control. Because Moses, at the end of chapter 5, we learn Moses was kind of panicking. And Moses was saying, Lord, what's going on here, Lord? Why aren't you doing something, Lord? You send me. I spoke your word. I'm being faithful. The people are just suffering. And God now tells Moses, don't worry. I'm in control. Pharaoh is a puppet in my hand. And I'm going to use Pharaoh to display my glory, to display my power, to display just my might and my strength. And Moses, when I'm finished, he will let my people go. It's as if he's saying, Moses, don't worry, I'm in control, and this is all part of my plan. This is all part of my plan. The suffering, Pharaoh hardening his heart, Pharaoh adding to the afflictions of my people, Pharaoh resisting and fighting. Moses, it's all part of my plan. I know what I'm doing. And when I'm finished, I'm going to display my glory. I'm going to work miracles in Egypt. Moses, I'm going to go at war with Pharaoh. And when it's all said and done, everybody will know who the true and living God is. It's all part of my glorious plan. You know what, fam? That's true for us. Listen, as you're serving the Lord, you're going to go through hard times. That's just the Christian walk. You're going to go through disappointment. You're going to go through discouragement. There's going to be people attacking you, people opposing you, people mocking you. Physically, you might have a hard season at times with your health, emotionally, spiritually. Things might not just go your way, but listen, always remember that no matter what you go through, God is in control and God knows what he's doing and God has a plan. God has a plan for what's happening to you. God's in control. God's sovereign. God knows what he's doing and God's going to use all of that for his glory. Whatever happens to you, somehow or some way, God is going to use it for his glory. And God's going to take what was intended for evil, and God's going to work it for the good. He's going to work it for the good. Somehow, some way, you're going to come out of that storm stronger, more committed to Jesus, more compassionate, more patient. Your character is going to be refined. That storm, that season of trial, of hardship, God is going to use it to perfect his work in your life. And it's going to be glorious. It's going to be glorious. Right now, maybe you don't see it. Right now, you don't understand. But no, God's in control. God has a plan. God is allowing you to go through all of this because he has a plan. Oh, you're going to be better because of it. You're going to be more like Jesus. Your character. Man, you're going to be more compassionate. You're going to be more patient. You're going to be more close to God. And I was just talking to somebody the other day. He's going through a hard time, just being attacked emotionally and physically and spiritually. And I said, man, praise God, because this is drawing you to Jesus. Because you were kind of straying. You were kind of going the wrong way. And God loves you so much that he allows this to happen for you can wake up, because he loves you. Doesn't want you to perish. Doesn't want to spend eternity without you. And so he sends sometimes things to wake us up. He sends things to sharpen us, to form us, to mold us in the image of Christ. That's literally what he tells Moses. He says, Moses, hey, don't worry, I'm in control. And now you're going to see what I'm going to do to Pharaoh. Pharaoh's rising up. Pharaoh's causing problems to my people. Pharaoh's adding to their hardship, to their suffering. Man, my people are suffering. Pharaoh's making them suffer. But I'm in control, and I'm going to use all of this for the good. I'm going to use all of this to display my power and my glory. That's what God does in our lives. He uses our suffering to display his glory. To display his power, to draw you to himself. He uses what you're going through to draw you close to him, for that you can be focused on him. Uses it for the good. And the greatest example is the cross. What can we say about the cross? The cross was the greatest injustice in the history of the world. Listen, Jesus was perfect. Jesus is perfect. He's God. And he came and he only showed love and grace and compassion, and they killed him. We killed Jesus. But it was all part of God's plan. Because through Jesus' death, God brought salvation. You see how God switched it on the enemy? The enemy is celebrating, yeah, I killed the Son of God. And then Sunday came. Amen. And now look at the fruit. Look at the reward of Jesus' suffering. Salvation, forgiveness, transformation, redemption, new heart, new lives. And that's the power of God. He's able to take what the enemy intended for evil, and he's able to transform it for good. And here's Pharaoh boasting, mocking God. And God tells Moses, just watch. Just watch what I'm going to do. It's going to be through Pharaoh. It's going to be through this suffering that I'm going to just reveal myself. And I'm going to display my glory. And so this is the exhortation, okay? Whatever you're going through, okay, because tonight there's at least one of us who are suffering. There's at least one of us who are going through a hard time. Some of you struggle with your mind, with your thoughts, with your emotions. Some of you are just going through a season of depression, a season of guilt. Some of you are going through a season of infirmity. Some of you are having marital problems or family problems. Some of you are sharing and sharing with loved ones, and they're rejecting and they're hardening their heart, every single one of us are going through something. And the temptation is to question, okay, why? Why, God? Why me? Where are you at, God? The temptation is to doubt. But tonight, God tells us, have faith in me. I'm in control. I know what I'm doing. I'm not making a mistake. And when it's all said and done, I'm going to be glorified. And you're going to be blessed. So the exhortation is trust. Trust in the Lord. Wherever you find yourself right now, trust in the Lord. That God's greater, that God's bigger, and that God has a plan. He knows what he's doing. God knows better than us. Amen? Because if it was up to us, man, we want everything overnight, right? God, give me this, give me this, give me this. And then the next day, nothing happens. Oh, no, something's wrong. The only thing wrong is your heart. That's the only thing wrong, your lack of faith. But God doesn't work like that. God takes time to do his work because he always does his work right. There's no microwave. There's no fast food meals with God. It's always a homemade meal. And all he asks us to do is trust in him. God bless you, fam. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. And Lord, we want to thank you for the book of Exodus. Thank you, Lord, that through this book we're learning, we're growing, we're getting encouraged, edified in the faith. And Lord, tonight, man, it was a good word, Lord. It was a good word because, Lord, you spoke to me so much through this word, Lord, as I was preparing and prepping. And that in the Christian walk, Lord, we can be faithful, we can do exactly what you tell us to do, and that doesn't mean we're not going to have problems, Lord. But at times, that's what stirs up the problems, Lord. That's what gets us attacked by the enemy. But Lord, tonight you remind us that whatever we're going through, you're in control, Lord. You don't make mistakes. Nothing happens to us without your permission, Lord. And if you permit it, Lord, it's because you have a plan, Lord. It's because there's a purpose, Lord. It's because you're doing something, Lord. You're doing something, Lord. You're allowing this hardship. You're allowing this season, this trial, because through it, Lord, you're doing something. You're building us up, Lord. You're building up our faith. You're getting our attention, Lord. You're allowing this to happen, Lord, because you're getting our attention. You're waking us up, Lord, to our need of you. You're helping us understand that we need God. We need Jesus in our lives. You're helping us understand that, man, I need a Savior. I can't save myself. I can't get myself out of this situation. I can't get myself out of this hole. I need a Savior. And you allow all of it to happen, Lord. Some of us, Lord, you've allowed us to hit rock bottom, Lord. Because you knew that that's the only way we were going to look up. And so some of us, Lord, you allowed us to go to jail. You allowed us to lose everything. You allowed us, Lord, to get sick, Lord. Because through that, Lord, you worked powerfully and mightily, Lord. You opened up our eyes and our hearts to the truth. Some of us, Lord, you want us to get to that next level, Lord. Some of us, Lord, you've called us for great and mighty things. You want to use us, Lord. But before you use us, you got to prepare us. And that preparation sometimes means going through the fire. That preparation sometimes means going through the storms, because through the storms we learn to trust in you. We learn to walk by faith. not by sight. There's a plan, Lord. There's a design, Lord, for everything that happens to us as believers. And so, Lord, our prayer tonight, Lord, as a family of God, and this is how we end, Lord, our prayer is that you would help us to trust in you, Lord. Help us just to trust in you. And that's one of our biggest struggles, Lord. It's hard to trust when we don't see things, Lord. It's hard to believe when we don't see it, Lord. It's hard to just hold on when we don't see it, when we can't feel it or see it or touch it. It's hard, Lord. We begin to doubt. We begin to freak out, Lord. We begin to just panic, Lord, because we don't see it, Lord, because we want to walk by sight. But Lord, you tell us that we need to walk by faith. So help us, Lord. Help us to trust in you, Lord, even if we don't see it, even if we don't feel it, Lord, even if we don't know what's going on or why it's happening, help us just to trust in you, Lord. Help us just to walk on water, Lord, that we could just trust in you and just keep trusting in you, Lord. And that like Moses and like Aaron and more than anything else, like Jesus, our Lord and Savior, that we would just be faithful, Lord. Faithful every day in the small things, Lord. Give us a faithful heart, Lord. Place within us a faithful heart that we can serve you faithfully every single day. Oh, Lord, we love you and we bless you. We thank you, Lord, and we commit our lives. Fam, just where you're at, you don't have to stand. Would you just raise your hands with me? Just let's pray this again. Lord, in your own words, Lord, I just commit my life into your hands. Lord, every need, every problem, every struggle, Lord, everything I'm wrestling with, all the emotions, the thoughts, the heartaches, Lord, the battles, the family problems, Lord, tonight I just give to you, Lord. I give you everything, Lord. Jesus, take everything, Lord. It's not mine, Lord. It doesn't belong to me, Lord. I give it to you, Lord. Touch the heart, touch the life, touch this situation. Lord, help me, Lord. Give me strength, Lord, to keep going, Lord. I want to stop. I want to throw in the towel, Lord. I'm struggling, Lord. I'm battling, Lord. But give me strength, Lord. Give me strength, Lord, just to get through another day, Lord. That's all we ask you, Lord. Another day, Lord. Another day, Lord. Saturday will take care of itself. But help us tomorrow, Lord. Help us on Friday, Lord. Go before us, Lord. Protect us. Watch over us. Bless us, Lord. We just commit our lives. We commit one another, our families, our children, our loved ones. Every need, Lord, we give to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, and all of the family says, amen. Amen, fam. Can we give the Lord a clap offering? Man, God bless you, fam. I love every single one of you. I appreciate every single one of you, and I'm praying for you guys.